Today I'm continuing my talk on God's provision and how he supplies all our needs. And another need of ours is to be healed. To be healed from physical conditions, spiritual conditions, and of course sin. And today I'm going to be focusing on physical healing and how, as a citizen of the kingdom of God, we have healing available for us. So we don't have to be sick. We don't have to be broken down and everything involved with diseases and things of that nature. I just want to show you in scripture how with the kingdom of God comes healing. It is available for you as a citizen. And if you believe God and take care of your temple, you can receive healing. So let me just start reading in Matthew chapter 4 and we'll go from there. This is Matthew chapter 4 verses 23 through 24. Jesus traveled throughout. This is the New Living Translation. I try to read from that translation because the words flow better. King James Version can be choppy at times because of the old language. And so I try to use the New Living Translation. Anytime I use a different version other than King James Version, I'll let you know. So this is Matthew chapter 4, verses 23 and 24 from the New Living Translation. And all the rest of the scriptures that I referenced today will be from that version. It says, Jesus traveled throughout the region of Galilee, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. And he healed every kind of disease and illness. News about him spread as far as Syria, and people soon began bringing to him all who were sick. And whatever their sickness or disease, or if they were demon-possessed or epileptic or paralyzed, he healed them all. So this is just to show you, this is what he did, and he's able to heal anything. If you're paralyzed, if you're epileptic, which, you know, could be seizures and having some kind of problem in the brain, in the mind, where you're acting funny and thinking funny. If you're sick, you just don't feel good. And if you have diseases, he could take care of all that. And if it's related to the demons, as we'll talk about in a later talk, how some illnesses and mental conditions are related to demon possession. Even if that's the case, he can clear out those spirits and give you a clean mind. So I just want to show you that God is not sitting up in heaven saying, I don't care about these people. I don't care about people being in these conditions. He cares about people. And he doesn't want to see them in those conditions, especially his people that's in his kingdom. So I want to give you an example here in the book of Luke. And it says, this is Luke chapter 5, verses 12. In one of the villages, Jesus met a man with an advanced case of leprosy. When the man saw Jesus, he bowed with his face to the ground, begging to be healed. Lord, he said, if you are willing, you can heal me and make me clean. Jesus reached out and touched him. I am willing, he said, be healed. And instantly the leprosy disappeared. So the man asked him, if you're willing, if you want to do it, you can do it. And Christ says, I want to do it. And I just want to bring it out to people that he wants to do it. He wants to heal. He is waiting for you to ask. He's waiting for you to believe that he can do it. And so you don't have to walk around with the ailments that you have. And so I just want to share that and show you that that's what it's about. The key to receiving healing is through faith. Let's go into Matthew chapter 8, verses 5 through 13. It says, when Jesus returned to Capernaum, a Roman officer came and pleaded with him. Lord, my young servant lies in bed, paralyzed and in terrible pain. Jesus said, I will come and heal him. But the officer said, Lord, I am not worthy to have you come into my home. Just say the word from where you are, and my servant will be healed. I know this because I am under the authority of my superior officers, and I have authority over my soldiers. I only need to say go, and they go, or come, and they come. And if I say to my slaves, do this, they do it. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed. Turning to those who were following him, he said, I tell you the truth, I haven't seen faith like this in Israel, in all of Israel. I tell you this, that many Gentiles will come from all over the world, from east and west, and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob at the feast in the kingdom of heaven. But many Israelites, those for whom the kingdom was prepared, will be thrown into outer darkness, where they will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then Jesus said to the Roman officer, go back home, because you believed, because you believed, because you believed, it has happened. And the young servant was healed that same hour. So here we have faith as the primary need for healing. You have to have faith in God that he can do it. That's all you need in this instance here. And so he kind of takes a shot at the Israelites. He says, look, the people following, I ain't never seen no faith like this in Israel. And so it says, it goes to show you that his own people did not believe that he could do certain things. And so it's this lack of faith in God that prevents him from doing anything for you. In this area, healing, physical healing. And so we have to have faith. And these instances that I'm reading to you is just to give you encouragement. And so when you don't have faith in God, when you feel like he's not going to do this for me, you got to go to scripture and build your faith off the word of God and recite that word and begin to believe it to the point to where you have enough faith, and then he'll do what he needs to do in your life. Matthew chapter 9, verses 2. Some people brought to him a paralyzed man on a mat. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, be encouraged, my child, your sins are forgiven. And it goes on to say, he got into some beef with the Pharisees about him forgiving sins. And finally, he told the man to get up and walk. So it was his faith that got him free, not only from his being paralyzed, but also having his sins forgiven. So once again, it's all about just going to God and just saying, well, heal me. I believe you can do it. I receive your healing. And as a citizen of the kingdom of God, you can receive healing. Matthew chapter 9, verses 22, it says, Jesus turned around, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be encouraged. Your faith has made you well. And the woman was healed at that moment. So we see, once again, the faith, the belief that it can happen for you is what brings about the healing in your life. You got to believe that God can do it. If you don't believe him, it's not going to happen for you. Now, there's people who believe that they don't deserve healing because they hurt their own bodies. Maybe they've used drugs, or maybe they've went out and fornicated and contracted diseases that up until this point are not curable, or they can't get rid of it. That's not an excuse to believe that God won't heal you. He understands that you were ignorant. He understood that you were in a state of self-destruction, and you did things to your body to harm it, maybe intentionally or unintentionally. The bottom line is, now that you're awake and you've gotten to a place where you know that we're from right from wrong, you can come to him for healing and pray and ask God to heal me. It's no different from you committing sin. Well, I committed so many sins, so God I don't deserve to be forgiven. You know, I don't deserve the salvation gift that God has put out for me. Well, we don't deserve anything from God. But the bottom line is, he has salvation available for us. So for us not to take it because we feel so bad about our sins or our failure to take care of our bodies because of our ignorance, there's no excuse for that. No, if I was you, I would take the truth in and say, God wants to heal me. I'm going to receive the healing. What's better to do? To sit and mope about your weaknesses and your pains and your struggles and your sufferings, or to receive the healing from God? Anybody believing those lies that somehow because of what you've done in your past, you can't receive from God is believing the lies of the enemy. The enemy don't want you healed. So he's got you feeling guilty about your past. We've all done stuff to our bodies. We've all done things willingly in ignorance and in sin, knowing right from wrong, and did it anyway because of who we were. Now that we're in Christ Jesus, now that we are in the kingdom of God, there is restoration for that. There is a cleansing for that. If we ask God for healing, we can receive it. Now, in latter talks, I'll talk about, you know, sometimes healing doesn't come immediately, or it may be something that you live with. But for the most part, as we've read already, God wants to heal us. He's willing, okay? Matthew chapter 9, verses 23 through 30. When Jesus arrived at the official's home, he saw the noisy crowd and heard the funeral music. Get out, he told them. The girl isn't dead, she's only sleeping. But the crowd laughed at him. After the crowd was put outside, However, Jesus went in and took the girl by the hand, and she stood up. The report of this miracle swept through the entire countryside. So here we have a scenario where Jesus is going to meet a girl who was sick, and at this point she had died, or as Jesus put it, she was asleep. They laughed at him. He got all of them out the room. And the reason why he did this is because faith can't operate with a bunch of unbelievers around. So in your life, if you're trying to overcome some sickness and you got a bunch of people around you telling you otherwise, you ain't gonna never be healed from that. You're never gonna overcome that. You got to get rid of those people. You got to get them outside of that area in your life. They can't speak on that area. If you get here from the doctor and he's saying, well, you got this and that's it for you. You can't listen to that anymore. You got to do what God says. What does the Bible say? Well, he said, if you have faith in me, I'll heal you. I'm willing. I want to heal you. So you can't believe the report of the doctor. You have to believe what God says. And especially as a citizen of the kingdom of God, you have access to what God wants to give you. You are a citizen and a child of the Most High God. Now that you've repented of your sins and come into his kingdom. So he wanted to heal you. He's not trying to leave you in broke and busted and all this kind of stuff. He wants to make you whole. And that's what healing is all about here. When I mention healing, I'm not talking about a Band-Aid or something that's temporal. I'm talking about restoration, wholeness, and a cure for whatever you're dealing with. I've seen people here heal from cancer, AIDS. There are times when I pray. I'm like, Lord, I got this going on with me. He takes it away from me. You know, there's times when he don't. And we're going to talk about that in the future, about why, you know, your healing doesn't come on immediately and things like that. But for right now, if you have an ailment, believe God. Begin to believe God that he'll take that and he'll heal you and restore you and make you whole and cure you. He can. He wants to do it. That's what he wants to do. Okay? And contrary to these false teachers who say you got to send some money in to somebody in order for that to happen, no, you don't got to do that. We see here in scripture that they went to Christ. They went to God himself and they got healed. Christ is not around today physically on the earth. And so what did you do? Well, you pray. You pray to the Father in heaven through Jesus Christ and you receive the healing that way. Okay? So I want to continue on here, but I digressed a little bit, but I just want to mention that you got to get rid of people who don't have faith in God's ability to heal. Don't listen to them. Get them out of the room as Jesus put these people out of the room because they was going to mess up what he was trying to do in there. So I want to continue on in verse 27 of chapter 9 of Matthew. After Jesus left the girl's home, two blind men followed along behind him, shouting, "Son of David, have mercy on us." They went right into the house where he was staying. And Jesus asked them, "Do you believe I can make you see?" "Yes, Lord," they told him. "We do." Then he touched their eyes and said, "Because of your faith, it will happen." Then their eyes were open and they could see. So here we have another example of faith. Jesus asked him, playing it, "Do you believe I can do this? Do you believe I can heal you?" And that's what God is asking us today. Do you believe I can heal you? If you do, you can receive healing. If you don't, and you believe the doctor's report, if you believe that you just got to sit around and deal with cancers and all these other different things, then you're going to deal with those things. You're going to have those things. So I'm going to encourage you to believe God rather than anything else. And I would say, see, you would think that people would believe God, but we've been conditioned in this world just to believe the opposite. Just to not believe that we can overcome ailments and sicknesses and diseases. This is what we believe. So I'd rather believe healing and being overcome in sin rather than overcoming illnesses and diseases rather than just believing that I have to have them and suffer from them. When I got born again, there are people in my family who still believed in harboring sicknesses and diseases. They believed, now you can't just pray to God and be healed, you know. And I had allergies up until that point. But after I got born again and I began to declare the healing of God in my life, I didn't have allergies no more. And it was amazing. And I would tell my family members this, and they would, and one in particular would just reject that. And just that, no, I don't receive that. And this particular person had so many issues and had went through so much suffering. I'm like, won't you just go to God? But because she was an unbeliever, she wouldn't receive that. So it's on her if she want to live in that suffering and deal with this and that. But for me, I'm going to believe God's report. I'm going to believe that he wants healing for me, and I receive it. And I did. I mean, I didn't have no more issues after I left my family's house. I'm going to say it like that. Because up until leaving their home, and like I said, just like Jesus had to get the people out of the house, after I got born again and left the home, and I would talk to my family on the phone, I seen a change in me, and they seen a change in me, but they didn't want to believe in God. And I'm living proof that things change once you begin to believe God for your healing. So that's the first thing, having faith in God. The next thing is this, we need to have a proper understanding of who we are in God. And our bodies are his property. So the second part of receiving healing is taking care of our bodies. Because if you don't take care of your body, you eat stuff that makes you sick, that brings about diseases, then you're countering what Christ is trying to do in your life. He wants you to be healed, but you can't eat crap all day and expect to be, you know. And the reason why we eat this stuff is because we're ignorant. We get what feels good and what tastes good and not understand it, that that's not nutritious. It's not going to satisfy our body's need for nutrition. And so we eat stuff out of ignorance and sometimes out of emotional connection. And just like I said, ignorance, we raised to eat this certain way. And because of it, we got sicknesses and diseases in us. And I found that great majority of diseases and sicknesses that people, especially in America, have is because of food. Once you are born again and you're walking with the Spirit of God, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit guides you into all truth. And so he gives you the truth about health. And one of the ways that you are healthy is because of education. The Bible says that his people perish for a lack of knowledge. So a lot of people are sick and they're perishing for the lack of knowledge. They don't know no better. But when you get born again and you walk into the kingdom of God, and you become a citizen, he begins to inform you about eating habits and lifestyles and how to overcome certain things. He showed me, you know, if you keep dealing with stress and allowing things to stress you out, and it's going to cause headaches and migraines and different things of that nature and other issues that are physical. And you're thinking, well, how is that possible? But he revealed that to me. You know, and there's scientific studies to back that up as well if you do your research. So your emotional condition will affect your physical condition. This stuff is all out there. The information, the internet is out there. If the internet wasn't available, it would be available in some library. You can just go and find the information. But the Holy Spirit led me to that, and he'll lead you to areas where you need to be informed about your health and so that you can live healthy and be healthy. So, but I want to go back to the main point here is that you need to respect your body as a temple of God because it's owned by him. I'm going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 16 through 17. It says, "Don't you realize that all of you together are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God lives in you? God will destroy anyone who destroys this temple. For God's temple is holy and you are that temple." So if you are eating things and doing things to your body after the fact, now that you're aware of this scripture, you are destroying your temple and God will eventually destroy you. That's his body. You don't own your body. So you have to take care of it. You can't just do things to it and then be on the deathbed talking about God, heal me from cancer and this, that, and the other. You know, heal me from this. I was skiing down a mountain thing. I broke my leg and my foot. God healed me. Well, why are you using God's body to participate in activities that will cause you harm? Why are you bungee jumping? Why are you doing extreme sports and things of that nature that puts you in harm's way? That's not God's will. That's not what he gave you a body for, to get thrills out of doing things that could lead to your death. You see? So I want to just mention that. The follow-up scripture is 1 Corinthians 6. 19 through 20 says, "Don't you realize that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself." People had this idea that their body is their own. No, God owns everything, including your body. You're renting it. So take care of it. If you want to be healed, if you want to be whole, take care of your body. And God's Spirit will give you wisdom on how to do that. He says, "You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price. So you must honor God with your body. So how do we honor God with our body? We take care of it, you know, and then we become a testimony to the world. When they look at saints of God, say, man, they're not sick. They're not all fat or malnourished, would be the other side of it, where you're just not eating food and you're anorexics and all that kind of stuff. They're not all gluttonous. They seem to eat with some level of dignity. They don't eat certain foods, and they seem to have more energy. That's amazing. We would stand out, and that's where God is getting us. I would believe any saint who's really born again, that God is dealing with you in his area. And so it's just as important to understand that this is part of your healing. Healing comes through wisdom and knowledge of God. When I looked up the gift of healing, because some people are given the gift of healing in the Bible. You see that in the kingdom of God, in the church, there are certain gifts that are given out to men and women. You can have the gift of healing. And that is one miraculous, you know, just touching somebody and, you know, everything is going away. It also involves knowledge of medicine. And so you know how to put this herb together and that herb together and this juice from that plant. And then you can create some kind of a tonic that would help somebody overcome something. And I'm seeing this happen all over the world. So the gift of healing is not just laying hands on somebody and fixing everything. It's also somebody having a knowledge of medicine. And I'm not talking about pharmaceutical medicine and, you know, the white world doctors, because a lot of that stuff has side effects. So we're not talking about that. We're talking about stuff from the earth that God gave us for healing, you know, and knowing what to do with that. And it's only through the wisdom of God that you know how to put this herb together and that herb. So that's the gift of healing on display there. Somebody having that access to that knowledge and being able to cure people with the plants of the field. And it goes on to say in 1 Corinthians 10:31, it says, so whatever you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. So does how you eat and drink glorify God? If somebody was to watch you eat and drink, would it glorify God? If somebody was to look at what you eat and drink, would it glorify God? Would they look at your plate and say, ooh, what is that? You eating that? Or, man, you really slopping that down like a pig, man. Is that glorify God? So we have to glorify God with our bodies and how we eat and drink. So early on, I mentioned how health has a lot to do with what we eat. And I, like I said before, Americans, most of them are sick and unhealthy because of three things: their food, their environment, and their emotional state. But I'm going to just deal with the food today. And I'm going to deal with the food where God talks about food as well, because God talks all about health in the Bible as well. The Bible, it talks about everything. Everything you need in your life is in the Bible. So in the book of Leviticus chapter 11, it gives Israel a list of foods they can and can't eat. And I'm not going to read the whole thing. I encourage you to read it yourself. And I encourage you to follow that dietary practice, because it's for your health. It's not just a religious thing. You know, people make it religious now, but it's really for your health. God is a practical God. He knows what you should and shouldn't eat. He created everything. He knows that certain animals were made to clean up the waste of the earth. So he gives you, he says, don't eat this. He don't eat that. They will defile you, he says. And that word defile means to be toxic, to be poisonous, to harm your body over time. And so I just want to take one scripture out of this. This is in Deuteronomy 14:8. It says, and you may not eat the pig. It has split hooves, but does not chew the cud. So he was giving them a way to identify certain foods they shouldn't eat. So it is ceremonially unclean for you. You may not eat the meat of these animals or even touch their carcasses. So he's just letting us know that certain foods are not good for us to eat, and that they'll defile us. And the reason why is simply because these particular animals he mentioned are scavengers. They eat crap. They eat the waste of the earth. And they walk around with that on their bodies. They have parasites and stuff all living in their bodies. They can handle it because they're built to handle that. And I'm going to give you some more examples. A dog is a scavenger. Dogs normally, instead of being pets, they would just walk us alongside humans and clean up whatever humans dropped off. If there was, you know, a wasted fruits and vegetables, they would eat that up. If it was some meat that you left over and you left outside, they would eat that up. If it was a dead body, they would eat that up. If there was anything of waste that was edible, they would clean that up. That's what dogs do. That's why you catch them in the. They really should be in the house. They should be out running around near humans because that's what they did. That's what God created them for. A pig is the same thing. It eats anything. It can eat a snake that's poisonous and not die. If you eat a pig who eats snakes, you'll probably end up getting sick. A lot of people, they've shown who have died and they opened up their skull and they shown all these worms and parasites and stuff like that in their body because of what they were eating over time. They kept eating pork and that pork infected them. And so I encourage you to do your research and you'll know that God, what God is saying, his dietary rules are for our benefit. It's not something just to tell us you can't do this and do that. It's for our benefit. Like I said, though, don't make it your diet. It may be included in something. You may read an ingredients and you say, man, it says pork in here. You know, and you say, oh, I can't eat that. Well, what are you going to do? You're going to take everything and with pork in it and not do it because of that? No. Bottom line is not make this stuff your diet. Don't make it your diet because it's going to lead to health issues. Dogs are scavengers. Pigs are scavengers. Of course, rats are scavengers. You got crows are scavengers. Vultures are scavengers. When you go into the water, catfish are scavengers. They don't have any scales, as the Bible says. That certain fish you shouldn't eat because they don't have no scales. It eats doodle and crap and stuff that is left over and waste from other animals, dead animals. It'll eat that. Lobster and shrimp. Those are scavengers. They eat up stuff on the earth to clean it up, in the water, rather. So here we are making lobster exquisite and shrimp like it's just the best. And this is crap food. This is food that eats other crap. Why are you? That's not even food. You know, this, and I'm actually recording this right around Easter, and I know a bunch of people are going to have ham on their table. How about not eating that and doing some other alternative? Now, even a normal food, even foods that are grown from the earth can be affected by man to where they eat something called GMOs or genetically modified organisms where they can harm you after a point. So the bottom line is knowledge. God will give you knowledge as to what to eat and what not to eat. And he'll help you through this thing. It's not going to be difficult for you. It's going to be very simple on how to eat right and how to be healthy. And you'll find that a lot of illnesses that you have and sicknesses will go away simply because you change your diet. Okay, so it's number one, having faith and having proper respect for your temple, which is God's property. And he'll give you wisdom on how to take care of yourself. I want to read Daniel chapter 1, verses 8 and 15, because here's an example of eating right opposed to how everybody else is eating and coming out on top. So Daniel was captured. Him and his people were captured. Him and a few of other guys were elected as useful for the king at that time. And he says, Daniel was determined. This is Daniel chapter 1, verses 8. Daniel was determined not to defile himself by eating the food and wine given to them by the king. He asked the chef of the staff for permission not to eat these unacceptable foods. So he's an Israelite. He already has a diet. He understands right from wrong. He got it from God. You know, these heathen nations didn't get no information from God. So they're eating whatever they see. They grabbing up pig and they eating up anything. And they putting sauce on it and they saying, that's good. But they're ignorant. They don't know any better. Israelites have been given the truth. They've been given the understanding. Okay, don't eat this, don't eat that. And so he sees the king wants to just give him his palate. And he's like, I don't want that. Permit me to eat my own foods. And so if you read the account, one of the chef was like, hey, man, you're going to be all weak, you know, and everything. You can't do that, you know. But he says, no, he says in verse 15, he says at the end of 10 days, he said, give me 10 days. I'll show you whether or not, you know, I'll be all right. Daniel, verse 15, it says, at the end of the 10 days, Daniel and his three friends looked healthier and better nourished than the young men who had been eating the food assigned by the king. So the king was eating all kind of stuff, probably with a bunch of pig and just foods that you shouldn't be eating that wouldn't be healthy. And he said, look, I'm going to show y'all how healthy I'm going to be versus the people who ate this stuff. He got by. And so it's just giving us that example of how if you just obey God, you'll be all right. You'll be healthy. But if you want to eat whatever you want to eat, and the Bible says you can do that, it's not a sin. Now, You're not going to hell, but ultimately, if you continue to do this stuff, this is going to lead to your death. As he said, if you destroy the temple, I'm going to destroy you. So God is, he's like, look, take care of my temple. And if you've been given instructions on how to do that, and you just said, I ain't doing that. I'm going to eat what I want to eat. I'm emotionally connected to this food. I'm just going to do this and that and destroy my temple. Okay, then, well, you probably, you know, not going to make it in because you don't respect God's temple. That's his body. And you decide you're going to do whatever you want with it. So God ain't with that. So I just want to say that those are the two things that you need to do. You got to have faith, and you also have to have the proper perspective of your body, that you believe in that God, you know, God owns your body and that you need to take care of it. And like I said, most of these issues, once you go out there and really research, and when the Holy Spirit leads you to certain content, I mean, I came across documentaries and books and websites, and I took this stuff in, and I studied it, and I practiced it, and it changed my life. Like I said, I lost my allergies because I started to eat right. I changed my diet. I did different things, and this is why you just got to follow God and believe that he's a healer. So that's what I encourage you to do. I encourage you to believe God for your healing. Don't feel like because you were ignorant and destroyed your body. Just say you pick at your skin because you had acne and you got issues with your hands and your body that leads you to do things that hurt your body. Don't be believing the lies of the enemy that says, well, since you do that, you don't deserve healing. Just ask God to stop your hands from hurting your body. If you was having sex out there in the world and you got diseases from that, it doesn't mean you necessarily have to live the rest of your life with those things. Believe God that he can take that away from you. Okay? Now, we're going to talk about in the future that sometimes he don't. And there's instances in the Bible that gives us reasons as to why he does not remove these things. And they usually help us grow and be better with him. So I encourage you to believe what God says about your healing, and he'll do it. And I've read countless stories of people overcoming diabetes. You can overcome that. I don't care what the doctor said. I've seen too many testimonies from people overcoming diabetes. Cancer. I've seen too many testimonies of people overcoming that. Okay? With just food. Whatever you do, don't go through chemotherapy because that'll just destroy you. You can get over that by changing your diet. You can get rid of a cancer by changing your diet. I've seen it happen. Okay? I've read the testimonies. AIDS is another one. I found out that's actually engineered, and it has a lot to do with the drugs they give you. So they say you got HIV and then they put you on drugs, which lead to your death. And so that's a conspiracy theory, but I encourage you to do your research on that. And you'll find that a lot of these AIDS cases are linked to the drugs that the people actually gave them. So they had HIV, which was not lethal at all. Do your research. You find out that's not even... It's so much stuff out there, y'all. I just pray that God leads you and shows you. And once again, you ain't got to send no money into nobody to be healed. Christ wants to heal you. He can heal you through your faith. He can heal you through education and wisdom. So I just want to leave you with this scripture here. This is in 3 John chapter 1, verses 2. It says, "Beloved, I pray that all may go well with you and that you may be in good health as it goes well with your soul." So until next time, believe God for your healing. Learn to be led by the Spirit when it comes to understanding how to eat and how to live. And you'll live a healthy life. You'll have energy. You won't be suffering anymore. We'll be right back.